Hey, good morning.
Can I ask you to join me in Acts chapter 7? Acts chapter 7, beginning in a little while, about verse 51 or so. If someone is leading where others are already going, they're not really leading, they're just in the same direction. For example, today I'm going to head down to South Calgary, or I think south of Calgary. Mahogany area. I haven't been there before, and I don't know if that's south of Bridalwood or, but anyway, I will find it because there's a funeral taking place and I'm leading it. So, I better be there. Barb Owens, a friend Les, I had mentioned had passed away. And so there's a funeral for Les, just a family gathering that I'm going to lead today at 3 o'clock. And then on Tuesday, actually, I'm going up to Edmonton to be with Barb and her family and lead another memorial service for Les. And this is the only time I'm doing two for one. So if you're going, I'm just going to do it once for you. But as I travel down south, if a car passes me and heads towards Mahogany, it doesn't mean that they're leading me. It just means that they're speeding. It just means that they're ahead of me. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily leading somewhere where I am going already. And this morning I want to take some time and ask the Lord to lead us in a conversation that Stephen's going to lead us in Acts chapter 7, verse 51 in a little bit, about the Holy Spirit. And ask God to, by His Spirit, to lead us through these moments. I love Psalm 23 where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd and that He leads me. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." One of the things sometimes that we struggle with is in that same psalm it talks about, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." What happened to God leading? We've got these beautiful moments of beside still waters and paths of righteousness, and then all of a sudden through the valley of the shadow of death. But I'm thankful that even in the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord leads us. In fact, it doesn't even say that, doesn't talk about His leading there. It says, "We will not fear." Why? Because He is with us. His rod and His staff, they comfort us. There's a presence of the Lord in dark and dark times. Jesus said, "Follow me." He didn't say, "Stay where you are and follow." There's an activeness about following. Jesus is on the move. Paul will write, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And that everything about that has to do with growing and maturing, moving from where we are, just a closer walk with Jesus. It's not just an old hymn. It's something we need to be about, just a closer walk with Him. In Corinthians, Paul will talk about and he will pray about that we would be complete. And that word completeness has everything to do with maturity and growing up. When Paul says, "May we be complete," and it has a connotation of growing up, it's not with an edge. Oh, just grow up. Would you grow up already? I mean, there are other places where he says that about you're thinking like mere men or mere mortals. But in this place in Corinthians where it talks about being complete, it has to do with being mature and growing up. And this morning I want to talk about growing in our knowledge of the Holy Spirit. I pray as we talk together this morning that there would be a growth and a maturity in our understanding and our experience, listen, with the infilling and the overflowing of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. With the infilling and the overflowing of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. The church cannot accomplish our mission, the mission that Jesus set out for us to go and make disciples. We cannot accomplish our mission without the power, without the presence, without the leading, without the filling, the infilling and the overflowing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power." Here's the mission, but wait. But wait, because you can't do it on your own. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it in your own ability. You can't do it in your own wisdom. You can't do it in your own timing. We cannot do it on our own, what He's called us to do. If we could, we wouldn't need Him. But what He's called us to is so big and so global in reaching a world for Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. So when I say about talking about the Holy Spirit, I don't want to just talk about the Holy Spirit. I do want to experience the infilling and the overflowing of His presence. I trust you do as well. I don't want to just follow the crowd. I want to follow Jesus. friend of mine got off an airplane. His name is Scott, got off an airplane, and as he walked up the jetway, the lady ahead of him, and he was sitting pretty close to the front of the bus, and so she turned left to go to pick up baggage, and so he followed, and so did the 100 or so people behind him, and on, until they came to closed doors. She had no idea where she was going. She just went left. What they needed to do was go right. And it wasn't an issue of malice. Wasn't that she was deceptive. She was just lost. She went the wrong way. But my friend followed her. And I don't want to just somehow follow a culture that's going the wrong way. I want to follow Jesus. In fact, I don't even want to follow other churches in a church culture. God has called us, Cornerstone Church, to be a unique expression of His presence in the city of Calgary. He has called us to be a unique expression of who He is. And we have a flavor. We have a distinction about our church. And I want to follow Jesus. For as many are led by the Holy Spirit, they're the children of God. As the Holy Spirit leads us, fills us, make no mistake, He will lead us to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit has come that He would point people to Jesus, and that's what we want to be about. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus Christ, the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, the one who heals us. And I was so glad we sang, amen. I'm so glad we sang about our King who's coming. About our King who's coming. Because, dear ones, we are running out of time. The King is coming, and we need to be about mission, about seeing people come to Christ. In all of this, as we talk about the Holy Spirit over these next few weeks, I believe we need to, hear me when I say we. I'm not saying you, I'm saying we, as I look in the mirror. We need to start with our hearts and a commitment to not resist the Holy Spirit. And as I challenge us this morning, before I do, I'd like to invite you with as much care as I know how to well up, to not be defensive. Don't let the enemy or my inability to articulate things well somehow take this message as an accusation, because I'm not accusing us of anything. But I am wanting to evaluate and say, Lord, I want your Holy Spirit to lead me. Is there any place in my life? Is there any place in our lives where we would be resistant to the leading of the Holy Spirit? It's like the psalmist cried, search me. Search me and try me and see. And Lord, see if there be any wicked way in me. Try me. Know my thoughts. Know my heart, O God. Because I know Barry. I know my heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? I know who can know it, and that's the Lord's. And so when I say that I don't want to resist His Holy Spirit, I bring my life before Him and I say, Lord, search me and try me and see if there's any point of resistance in me. It's this moment. I don't know if this grips you, because how it grips me. I think it was a very sincere question that the disciples asked Jesus when He said, one of you will betray me. The disciples said, Lord, is it I? Is it I? And I look at my life and I say, Holy Spirit, God, are there any areas in my life that I'm resistant to your leading in? Is it I? Search me and try me and see if there be anything, any point of resistance or any point of betrayal in my life. Is there anything in our past experience when we think about the Holy Spirit and talk about the Holy Spirit? Anything we've observed or heard? Anything we've had an interpretation of Scripture that has caused us to resist or be closed to or fearful of the Holy Spirit? Now, loved ones, He is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. And so there is a fear and a reverence that we need to walk in and be aware of. Those who regard me, the Lord said, much. Those who approach me, who regard me, must regard me. Those who approach me must regard me as holy. And so there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But it's not a fear, a terror of, a being afraid of. It's a walking in a reverence of the Holy Spirit. You can look that up in the book of Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira, and great fear came upon all of them. Sometimes resistance can be built up. It becomes easier to resist. And from the beginning of the world, when sin entered the planet, when sin entered our world, there began to be a resistance to the Holy Spirit. Galatians will tell us that the sinful carnal nature that we struggle with is at war, or is at enmity, is against the Spirit of God. There is a resistance to even the desired evidence that God wants to work in our lives. At the time of the early church, and we're moving right now up to this verse in Acts chapter 7. But at the time of the early church, there was resistance to the Holy Spirit's work in Stephen's life. Stephen, one who was chosen to be a waiter, chosen to serve food to people, chosen to minister, and in the midst of this very practical and tangible expression of caring for people, in the midst of that, Scripture tells us that he was full of wisdom and he was full of the Holy Spirit. There was an infilling, and thank God there was an overflowing of his life as he went about caring for people. He was chosen to serve, and there's this presence and power of the Holy Spirit in his life, and it says that he even performed great wonders and signs. As he's just ministering to people, passing out food, the miraculous is taking place. And as the religious community began to accuse him of blasphemy, he's brought before the council. There is a world of religiousness that would want to resist the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he begins to preach, begins to give testimony. He talks of Abraham, the father of faith, how he heard God's voice and how he responded in obedience. And then he talks about Joseph. And he tells how Joseph was sold into slavery, and we love the story, and the Lord was with Joseph. And how through that, God saved, the whole family of Israel was saved. This dark, dark time, Joseph betrayed by his brothers, Joseph sold into slavery, Joseph falsely accused by Potiphar, thrown into prison, on and on, but how God was in it all. I want to pause here, jump out of the sermon. There's an old song that's just been running around in my head this morning, and I shared it in the prayer room before we came out. And I want to pray for people who are struggling right now. Just as I was thinking of Joseph being thrown in prison and betrayed, all that, all things, and God's deliverance. The words of the song are this, talking about God. I thank him for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. And it goes on to say, for if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. And I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. And so I thank him for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he's brought me through, because if I'd never had a problem, I would have never known that God could solve him. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. The chorus says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. So Father, this morning, for anyone who is struggling and can't see in the process, like Joseph, betrayed, in prison, isolated, lonely, God, it wasn't supposed to be like this, shattered dreams, hurts, confusion, God, I pray, even as Amy talked about, that there would be victory. And victory not just after the battle, but victory in the battle. That even in this moment, you would instill hope and courage and strength to get through. And I thank you that in the midst of the fire, that Jesus, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that the Son of God was right there in the midst of the fire. So God, I pray for confidence and hope for each one who is struggling with moving forward, wondering how they got in this situation, crying out, God, where are you? Crying out, God, how long, O Lord? How long until you rescue me? God, I pray for courage and hope and strength and a confidence already to see what faith in God can do in the midst of this struggle. Jesus, be glorified as you bring strength and courage even now. Amen. We now return to our regular scheduled sermon. He talks of not only of Joseph, but of Moses, and how he led Israel out of bondage, and even from the start, how the Israelites rebelled against Moses and Aaron and God. And in the midst of this history, he says these stinging words to the council. Verse 51, Acts chapter 7. Stephen says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth." It's an amazing parable, because on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches a sermon about them crucifying the Prince of Life. And it says, "And they were cut to the heart and said, Sirs, what must we do to be saved?" This is a different cutting to the heart. Their response, "And they gnashed at him with their teeth." Verse 55, "And he," listen, "being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, Look, I see the heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. They cried out with a loud voice." Look at, they stopped their ears, hands over their head. They stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul. Verse 59, we back up and it shows us this picture, what was happening as they stoned him. And they stoned him, Stephen, as he was calling on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. It's a moment of we cannot accomplish our mission without the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And you can see clearly the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in Stephen's life, even as he was giving his life as the martyr in the New Testament, as persecution is beginning to unfold. "You stiff-necked, stubborn, obstinate," he calls them, "uncircumcised in hearts and ears." He said, there is a covering over your ears. There is a covering over your heart. And he said this, "You always resist the Holy Spirit." It's the only time in the New Testament that this word shows up. Antipipto. It means to fall against, to oppose, to strive against. But what is key is not how the word is translated into English. It has everything to do with the tense. You always resist. It's present tense. It means this, an action in process with no assessment of being completed. You resisted, this is what it means. You resisted then, you're resisting now, and there's no end in sight of your resistance. It's very, very different from the word used in James 4:7, where it says, "Submit unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee." That's make a choice. You're not doing it, do it, and it will be done. Resist the devil. You have the ability to resist the devil. Do it now. This is the only time where it shows up. You always have, you are right now, and there's no end in sight of your resistance. Stephen said, "You're resisting, just like your fathers who killed the prophets. Those who were speaking as oracles of God, you covered your ears and picked up stones." Stephen said, "Your hearts and your ears are covered. God can't even speak to your heart Because there's a covering over it. Even if he uses others to say it, you don't hear it. He cried out with a loud voice as they stopped their ears. They stone him. Resistance can be built up in it, and it become easier and easier to resist. And in the prayer room, and earlier we're talking this morning about obeying God, and as Amy was leading us talking about, we want to obey God. Resistance to obeying His voice can be built up, and it can seem like it can become easier and easier. It's like lifting weights. You know, when you're lifting weights and you have a set amount and you're going through the reps day after day after day after day, and your muscles are becoming stronger because of the resistance. Now the resistance is getting lighter, so you increase the weight. There's more resistance, but as you practice at it, you're going to grow and be able to increase the weights and increase the weights. Obviously, what I've done. I don't want to increase my ability to resist the Holy Spirit's. Because of a past track record of resisting, no Lord, no Lord, no Lord. And this morning, as we're moving into next week, talking about what it looks like to grieve the Holy Spirit and wait on the Holy Spirit, as we move in to talk about the Holy Spirit being with us and the Holy Spirit being within us and the Holy Spirit being upon us, and the release of a heavenly prayer language and a release of ministry and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I thought, let's start with just saying, Lord, let there not be any resistance in my heart where you want to lead me. Where you want to lead me, in an understanding and awareness of the Holy Spirit according to Scripture, and an understanding and awareness and an openness to the infilling and the overflowing of the Holy Spirit's power and presence in our lives. Can I invite you to join me and ask the Lord to search us and to try us? And Lord, is there anything? Is there anything? I'm confident. I know you. You're like me. We just say, Lord, I don't want there to be anything. But I just need the spotlight of the Holy Spirit to shine on me. Is there anything that would keep me from receiving all that you have for me in this season that we walk in to receive the fullness of your Spirit, the infilling and the overflowing? Can we go ahead and pray this morning?